There is more Russia news swirling around the White House. Special counsel Robert Mueller has now convened a grand jury issuing subpoenas to get answers on the Russia investigation. Now, President Trump calls it a witch hunt and fake news. He'd much rather talk about manufacturing deals and the stock market. And why not?
Our stock market has reached an all-time high today.
Look at what's happening with the stock markets. Bigger, better, and stronger.
I don't think there's ever been a president elected who in this short period of time has done what we've done. All-time high. Think of it. Nobody ever talks about it. They don't talk about it.
Wall Street is booming. The post-election rally hasn't died. The Dow Jones Industrial Average hit 22,000 earlier this week, up almost 21% since November's presidential election. The president has tweeted about the stock market at least 10 times in the last month. Politically risky? Maybe. The stock market is soaring, and eventually it will come down. But for now, what's driving the boom, and what's in it for the American workers that President Trump counts on for support? Ben White is Politico's chief economics correspondent and author of the Morning Money column. He covers the nexus of Washington and Wall Street, and he says Trump doesn't deserve much of the credit for the robust stock market.
Part of it is the election. Immediately after Trump surprised everyone and won, you had a big move up in the stock market. Partially because investors expect big corporate tax cuts, partially because they expect a lot of regulations to get shredded. Most of that is out of the stock market now. And what you see in the increase is really good corporate earnings, two quarters of double-digit gains in earnings, and an economy that's doing fine, 2.6% growth, decent job growth. So this is much less a Trump market now than it is a fundamentals market, because investors see that the White House hasn't been able to get a lot done. They don't expect huge things going forward.
We're going to talk about tax reform because that's the next huge project for Republicans on the Hill. But let's talk about deregulation, one of the small areas of success where Trump and Republicans have had a couple of wins. Is deregulation. Wall Street loves that.
They love that. They love it on in the energy sector, where Trump has been rolling back Obama-era environmental protections. And they love it in the banking sector, where they have seen some regulations reduced, and they expect more on the big banks. That's why you see the Goldman Sachs of the world, JP Morgan, Citigroup, all their shares have been doing incredibly well. It remains to be seen whether he's going to be able to follow through on some of these bank regulation changes. But for now, the market loves that. And there are certain sectors that have done very well based on the regulatory framework.
So how do people on Wall Street watch Washington, Ben White? You mentioned that a lot of these things are priced in. They're excited about deregulation. They're excited about getting their taxes cut. Makes sense. Dysfunction is rampant in Washington. Obamacare repeal, to the shock of many, Republicans couldn't get that done. They see a White House in chaos. And if I were an investor seeing those things, I'd say, yeah, I love getting my taxes cut, but they can't get it done.
Yeah. There's every time you see a big headline coming out of Washington on the Robert Mueller investigation or anything that's negative for Trump, you'll see a quick tick down in stocks. But that almost immediately turns into gains because, A, I don't think Wall Street is convinced that Trump's going anywhere anytime soon. And, B, there's this belief that if somehow something happens to Trump, you'd get President Mike Pence, and he would be exactly the same as Trump on policy and a lot less chaotic. So there's not a great concern about some of the investigation stuff and a lot of the chaotic headlines. Wall Street will react in a knee-jerk fashion initially and then kind of ignore it because they don't expect it to amount to anything, and they're not too afraid of President Pence. And you know, it's not assumed anymore that they get tax reform done or anything done as long as they don't blow everything up with a debt limit scare or shutting down the government. Wall Street is kind of okay with that.
Let's talk about those big tax reform plans that Paul Ryan and the Republicans have. Obamacare repeal has failed for now. They don't want Strike 2. This is worth $1 trillion. And Paul Ryan has just invested an enormous amount of personal and political capital in this. It's really important to them.
If they fail on that, it's a very large embarrassment for House Republicans, Senate Republicans, Paul Ryan, and the White House. So you'll see a full court press from the administration, from Congress, and outside groups that are going to spend a lot of money to push this tax reform plan.
All right, let's take a step back from this for 1 second, though, the political moment, Ben White. We're hearing stories every day about stagnant wages, people who are having a terrible time finding good-paying jobs. there's a disconnect here, isn't there, in our politics? I mean, we're having this conversation about all of the cash pouring into Wall Street. They're going to get more. They're going to get tax cuts. And I thought that Donald Trump got elected because people were sick of this.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, there is a disconnect. And what the administration and Congress will try to do is make the case that if you allow companies to bring a lot of the cash they have stashed overseas back and you lower their tax burden compared with other countries, that they will invest more. They will grow more. They'll be able to pay people more. That's a bit of a hard case to make because on the surface, it looks like you're giving big tax cuts to fat cats in corporations. But really, they expect it to drive faster economic growth and then more jobs and higher wages. But I think if you cut corporate taxes, you also have to go after individual tax rates, particularly middle class tax rates. And that's where they're a bit stuck. They don't want to be tagged as cutting taxes for rich people only. They want to make the case that this will be good for workers and also individuals. So that's why they're looking at lowering middle-class tax rates.
Right. They're not going to call it trickle-down economics. I can bank on that for you.
I don't think they will brand it that way. No.
Are American workers going to buy it?
It's an open question. They'll buy it, I think, only if it actually works. They'll buy it if they see more job creation, higher wages, and a better standard of living for folks. They're not going to buy the rhetoric, but they will buy the reality if it actually happens.
You know, a huge part of Obamacare repeal that sort of flew under the radar was massive cuts to Medicaid, $700, $800 billion that Republicans were banking on. Is this entire project of tax cuts harder now that they didn't get that and that that effort failed?
It is harder. I mean, they expected the tax increases under Obamacare to be wiped out. That hasn't happened. So there'll be pressure from some Republicans to still go after those taxes. And if you do that, it makes balancing the books a little bit harder. House Republicans, particularly Paul Ryan, really want a deficit neutral tax reform. Doesn't increase the deficit so they can make it permanent. But if you're going after the Obamacare taxes plus cutting corporate taxes and individual taxes, that's a lot of money to make up and not blow a hole in the deficit.
Ben White, Politico's chief economic correspondent, author of Morning Money at Politico. Thanks, Ben.
Pleasure. Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.